efficient that was. How could anyone hope to get anything done? He counted the sugar again. 29. But he'd had 2 in his tea, so that was all right. Toughness was paying off. Colon went and opened his door a fraction so that he could just see down into the office. It was amazing how you could catch them out that way. Quiet. And neat, too. Every desk was clear. Much better than the mess you used to get. He went back to the desk and counted the sugar lumps. There were 27. Aha! Someone was trying to drive him mad. Well, 2 could play at that game. He counted the lumps again. There were 26. And there was a knock at the door. This caused it to swing inwards, and Colon to jump up in evil triumph.
Aha! Burst in on me, eh? Oh!
The O was because the knocker was Constable Dorful the Golem. He was taller than the doorway and strong enough to tear a troll in half. He'd never done this, since he was an intensely moral being. But not even Colon was going to pick an argument with someone who had glowing red holes where his eyes should be. Ordinary golems would not harm a human because they had magic words in their head that ordered them not to. Dorful had no magic words, but he didn't harm people because he'd decided it wasn't moral. This left the worrying possibility that, given enough provocation, he might think again. Beside the golem was Constable Shu, saluting smartly.
"We've come to pick up the wages, Chitty, sir," he said.
"The what?"
"The wages, Chitty, sir. The monthly Chitty, sir. And then we take it to the palace and bring back the wages, sir."
"I don't know anything about that."
"I put it on your desk yesterday, sir. Signed by Lord Vetinari, sir."
Colon couldn't hide the flicker in his eyes. The black ash in the fireplace was by now overflowing. Shu followed his gaze.
"I haven't seen any such thing," said Colon,
while the colour drained from his face like a sucked ice lolly.
"I'm sure I did, sir," said Constable Shu. "I wouldn't forget a thing like that, sir. In fact, I distinctly remember saying to Constable Visit, "Washpot, I'm just going to take this."
"Look, you can see I'm a busy man," snapped Colon. "Get one of the sergeants to sort it out."
"There's no sergeants left except Sergeant Flint, sir. And he spends all his time going around asking people what he should be doing," said Constable Shu. "Anyway, sir, it's the senior officer who must sign the chitty."
Colon stood up, leaning on his knuckles, and shouted,
"Oh, I must I? That's a nerve and no mistake. Must, eh? Most of you lot are lucky anyone even gives you a job. Bunch of zombies and loonies and lawn ornaments and rocks. I've had it up to ear with you."
Shu leaned back out of range of the spittle.
"Then I'm afraid I must take this up with the Guild of Watchmen, sir," he said.
"Guild of Watchmen? Ha! And since when has there been a Guild of Watchmen?"
"Dunno. What's the time now?"
said Corporal Nobbs, ambling into the room.
"Got to be a couple of hours at least. Morning, Captain."
"What are you doing here, Nobby?"
"That's Mr. Nobbs to you, Captain, and I'm President of the Guild of Watchmen, since you ask."
"There's no such bloody thing."
"All legit, Captain. Registered at the palace and everything. Amazing how people rush to join, too."
He pulled out his grubby notebook.
"Got a few matters to take up with you if you have a moment. Well, I say a few."
"I'm not putting up with this," bellowed Colon, his face crimson. "This is high treason. You're all sacked. You're all..."
"We're all on strike," said Nobby calmly.
"You can't go on strike while I'm sacking you."
"Our strike headquarters are in the back room of the Bucket in Gleam Street," said Nobby.
"Here, that's my boozer. I forbid you to go on strike in my own pub."
"We'll be there when you wish to talk terms. Come, brothers, we are now officially in a dispute situation."
They marched out.
"Don't bother to come back,"
Colon shouted after them. Bionk wasn't what Vimes had expected. In fact, he'd find it hard to say what he had expected, except that this wasn't it. It occupied a narrow valley with a whitewater river winding through it. There were city walls. They were not like those of Ankh-Morpork, which had become at first a barrier to expansion and then a source of masonry for it. These had an inside and an outside. There were castles on the hills. There were castles on most hills in these parts. And there were high gates across the road. Detritus thumped on the side of the coach. Vimes stuck his head out.
There's guys in...